Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, say first, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." Heavenly Father, first, thank you for your word. I am so grateful that we have a word from heaven. It's not the word of man or some committee. It's not what a bunch of deacons got together and came up with. It's not what the evolutionist and scoffer says, but it's a word from heaven. This is from your throne, this word we have today. And the one speaking is your Son. I hope somehow that I can preach today that the people would get a glimpse of that, that this is the word of God, and it will bring life. It'll do something in the soul. So help me to preach, and those listening, please grant them understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen. I've been preaching for a few weeks, I suppose, about Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the miracle that God gave to the church, the outpouring of the Spirit, the supernatural ability to speak in tongues, and power from on high to help us to preach the gospel and to help us gather in the harvest of lost souls. Apart from the coming of the Lord Jesus to this earth to die on the cross. The most important thing I believe that we have is the Spirit of God, the touch of God, the hand of the Father upon us to help us to win lost souls. It's interesting, this chapter, chapter 10, if you flip back one chapter, chapter 9, it says in Luke, "Then called he his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." He gives the same kind of instructions, take nothing for your journey, etc. In verse 6, "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." The modern mind, we understand there are sick people, and I'll get to healing in a minute. But the modern mind says, devils, what's that? Demons, those don't exist. Sadly, many denominations think that that doesn't exist. It's kind of weird because I'm reading the Word of God right here. It says, that crazy Jesus, I guess he didn't know what he was talking about, devils. Something must be wrong with him. Many denominations, they will think that. Maybe they don't preach it over the pulpit, but the mindset is this isn't real. Well, demons are real, unfortunately. Jesus is real. Discipleship, he called his 12 disciples, that's real. I'm a disciple of Christ. I hope everyone listening to me is. Angels are real. Demons are real. Heaven's real. And hell is real. The Word of God is true. If you don't believe it, well, I can't help you. But this is the Word of God. And I'm not preaching on demonology. But I will say something of healing. It says that he gave them power and authority. The word power in Greek, dunamis, authority is exousia. We understand these words. Power and authority, that's what it means. We have the authority. Remember that Christ left the kingdom to us, the church, and the ministers thereof, to do the work in his absence. One day, when Christ returns, when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to say, "Well, let's see how you did. Tell me about it. Let's see how many you won. Let's see, maybe you were in a hard place and you preached and you won no disciples, but you were a faithful witness to me. Or maybe, well, I gave you these tools, I gave you the word, I put words in your mouth and a song in your heart and you did nothing and you buried your talent. Us four and no more." Or whatever the case may be. But he gave the kingdom and the authority as ambassadors of Christ, as Paul said. And as our topic is, he gave us the power. The power to preach the gospel. That as it's preached, conviction would fall upon the heart. Conviction. In John chapter 15 or 16, I believe it is, it says that the Spirit was given to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Then he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Well, everyone knows we should preach the kingdom of God. Missionaries, etc. Sunday school, home missions, VBS, whatever. We should preach the kingdom of God. But we forgot the second half of his sentence. And to heal the sick. And to heal the sick. I believe in divine healing. Don't believe in divine health. I believe when I get sick, I ought to ask the Lord to heal me. If I have any trouble, I need to ask the Lord to help me. There are those, idiots on television that don't pray for the sick. Because, well, I'm walking in divine health. I'm the child of God. I'm an overcomer and I never get sick. Nonsense. Everyone gets sick. You have not because you ask not. If you think, well, I never get sick, well, you'll never get healed. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Back to our first chapter, chapter 10. He sent not the 12 disciples, but 70 also, it says. Not Andrew, not Peter, but others also. To do the work of God, it says, he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. That's our charge. Jesus Christ is coming. We understand that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And it's our job, man, don't I sound like a broken record. It's our job to preach the gospel in every town, every village, every country, in Africa, in Asia, in Muslim countries. We need to do everything we can to win the lost. Communist countries and many churches in China, they have the official churches, the government-sanctioned churches. It's hard to get saved there. But if anyone wants to hear the truth and the gospel preached without a government monitor, you go to the illegal church, and if you're caught, you could lose everything you have. We have testimony after testimony, books in some of our bookstores. I've heard testimonies on radio of Chinese pastors that they were caught, they were beaten, they were thrown into prison camps, they were starved, and after 10 or 20 years they get out, and what do? They open another church. They go back to preaching the gospel, knowing that next time they may be killed. There is a fate worse than death, to be tortured day in and day out, and wish to die. In America, we have it so soft. In closed countries, if you try to preach, again, you may be tortured or killed for your faith. But after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And again, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And that's something we should do. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. That's why we have missions conferences, to raise money for missions, and also that missionaries would have a chance to preach to congregations, that peradventure God would speak to one or another in the congregation to do something for missions work. Maybe a part-time or maybe a week or two trip to some country, or maybe to pray for missions, or maybe even to go to serve as a full-time missionary. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. I guess I do sound like a broken record. I'm going to preach the same themes until I die or until you guys tell me, look, go away, we don't want you no more. I'm going to preach the cross. I'm going to preach divine healing. I'm going to preach missionary work. You've heard me. You're going to continue to hear the same message. I'm not going to compromise. And I'm so thankful that I have that conviction that the Lord put in my heart. But it says in verse 9, again in Luke chapter 10, speaking to the 70 and sending them out, it says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. It's a remarkable thing when the Lord would be gracious to a person and give some kind of a healing touch. A healing outright, maybe a strengthening. But it's an impressive thing when the power of God is displayed. And the person certainly benefits. But also others will see the power of God and think, wow, there's something to this. but above that, from God's point of view. The verse I quoted earlier in the service, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, where Jesus at evening healed everyone, hundreds, thousands, however many came to him, he healed everyone. That's not a single occurrence over and over and over in the Gospels. You'll find the Lord healing or raising from the dead. Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, etc. Again and again, you find the power of God. And again, it's impressive, and the people benefit. But we need to understand God's point of view. God has compassion. God has compassion. There are those ministers, I could tell an unfortunate story, I guess 20, 25 years ago, near the campus of LSU, or right, actually one block off. There was a certain bar. Well, bars are evil, we understand that. There were a couple of churches that they thought that God had spoken to them that they should preach in front of these bars at night. And it wasn't repent. It wasn't Jesus loves you. It wasn't, man, you know, we need to pray for you. It's, you're going to hell, etc. Condemning them. City of Baton Rouge had to pass a law specifically against those two churches that you can't preach the gospel in that parking lot. It's amazing. It's terrible, really. Those people have no compassion. They have no love. Think of a missionary that gives his entire life, decades, and maybe even his physical life, sacrificed on the field, on the foreign field. What kind of love to leave one's family, friends, church, air conditioning, clean food, clean water, to go spend their existence in a place that they could get sick any day of the week and die from the food or from the water or maybe from violence or persecution. They go because certainly the Lord commanded, but another thing, they love the people they're ministering to. My point, when Jesus healed again and again and again in the Gospels, it was because of compassion, concern, and care. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two and healed the sick that are therein. Again, flashy miracle, maybe, but compassion. Healing is part of the gospel. Healing is part of the Great Commission to preach the gospel and to pray for people to be healed. Part of the gospel. We read it right here. And again, it's a visible sign of God's compassion. If someone believes the gospel and is saved and lives 50 more years and then dies, he has to wait 50 years to see for real if this thing was true. But if the missionary goes into the town and into the little mud hut and lays hands on some grandma, and the grandma is healed of gout or something, diabetes, then they know right there, then and there, that the kingdom of God is come unto you. They know, because now I can walk or what have you, that, hey, God really loves me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Sometimes it's not always easy. city, bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.